Now, the update you have received, update 1092, goes into numerous issues, and again, it's an update, I would say, which is very important in light of what is happening as we speak. The editorial was written by Mr. Thilo Hahnstein from Germany, titled "You Must Stay Strong." And first, he's talking about the situation over there somewhat, not just in Germany, but also, of course, writing it from a German perspective. And of course, then we all are really wanting Jesus Christ to come back soon and to make an end to all this madness going on in this world. But he is asking a very pointed question. He says, I ask myself, am I even ready for the coming of Christ? And it's an important question we all have to ask ourselves, because what good does it do for us personally if Christ comes back and we are standing in front of him and he says, well, I never knew you. Depart from me. So that mustn't happen to us. He later writes in the editorial, we need God's power, his help, his strength to continue, because we cannot do it on our own. We need God's power to help us, and he's giving us that help if we want it. And then he says, we also must be there with and for each other, very important, because if we don't love each other, how can we love God, as it was clearly stated in the Bible. So this leads me then into the current events section, because all of these go pretty much hand in hand. We are seeing what is happening pertaining to Israel, Hamas, and we have several articles in there that when this deal was made, Hamas was extremely happy about it, because actually it was all in favor of Hamas, and it was not in favor of Israel at all. Now, as you probably have heard, the fighting has resumed. Israel is saying that Hamas broke the temporary ceasefire. Of course, you know, Hamas is blaming Israel, and what else can you expect? So it's now for the second day that the fighting has resumed, but I'd like to go ahead and just read to you from an article which I found yesterday. Maybe it was today, actually, this morning. A strong article, going to be in the next update. It was written by Israel Today, and this is what it says. America has a history of stopping Israel just short of actually defeating its enemies. The first Lebanon War in the early 1980s concluded with Israel being pressed to accept a deal whereby Yasser Arafat and his PLO could escape to fight another day. And then you might have heard it, they're talking about the fact that now they are trying to convince Israel to allow that Hamas leaves the area and settles someplace else. And then the article is saying, honestly, the biggest obstacle to peace in the Middle East at this point is the short-sighted incompetence of Western leaders. And how could you possibly disagree with that? Now, going back to the current update, we also have an article in there asking the question, is America going to continue to support Israel? And there have been already some statements to the effect that they would not. And Mr. Blinken made a very obscure comment just the other day to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and I'm quoting from JTA, which is another Jewish paper, saying that Israel may only have weeks left to fight, not even months. And the question is, what does that mean? And is he threatening Israel now in saying, after that, we are not going to support you any longer? We have an article in this current edition, Israel's Dilemma is America's Fault, again, going along the same lines as the one I just quoted, stating that America has had a history of pressuring Israel to do what America wants to do, but which is not in the best interest of Israel and never has been. Now, we know from the Bible that the time will come where ultimately both the United States of America and the United Kingdom will turn against Israel, Judah. and we may see the beginning of that development already as we speak. We have an article in there which was titled "Biden Sound Asleep." Now, this particular article talks about his approach towards Israel and the Middle East. It has to do with the idea that people are saying, oh, if you only had a two-state solution, then everything would be fine. And the article points out that the overwhelming majority of the Palestinians don't even want a two-state solution. They want a one-state solution. But the one-state solution means one state without Israel. And our new Standing Watch program goes into that. It's titled, "Will There Ever Be a Two-State Solution?" I'd like to just give you a summary. While the war between Israel and Hamas is ongoing, with a temporary ceasefire to carry out a ridiculous deal, because as I said, this ceasefire is over by now, many are already advocating a permanent ceasefire and a two-state solution. Now, let's not make any mistake. I believe that the Americans and the Europeans will pressure Israel to accept a permanent ceasefire. Whether Israel is going to agree to that, we'll have to see. But anyhow, the summary goes on to say, they are totally ignorant about the true feelings of most Palestinians. The Bible tells you that some Arab nations, Turkey, and Europe, under German leadership, will try not to create a two-state solution, but something which would be altogether different. I'm talking about the total eradication of Israel. But they will not succeed. And this program goes into that also from a biblical standpoint, why they won't succeed, but why they will try. Now, in this particular update, which you received by your email, an article was not included, but it's included in the website version. And that article had to do with the death of Henry Kissinger. He died just 100 years old. And the article points out that, of course, he was 15 years old. He was born in Germany when he emigrated with his parents to the United States in 1938 to escape the persecution of Jews by the Nazis. Now, when the Berlin Wall was built, he advised President John F. Kennedy not to retaliate militarily. He also received the Nobel Peace Prize in 1973, which was a highly controversial move in light of the American role in Vietnam. But then later, he built up a U.S. relationship with China. And also when the Soviet Union collapsed, he was instrumental in bringing a better situation about between America and Russia. He also advised for German reunification. But then he was recently very concerned about the rupture in the transatlantic partnership. He is still and was still a strong supporter of a strong Europe. But he also felt that Germany did a terrible job already under Angela Merkel in bringing far too many migrants into the country. Now, that now brings me to an article which was published by the Daily Mail yesterday, titled "Germany, We Have a Problem." Now, not the entire article, but much of it is going to be in the next update, but I'd like to just read a few portions of it, because what they're saying is absolutely correct. It says, when 1.1 million migrants arrived in Germany in 2015, Bild Zeitung, the Bild magazine, launched a welcome campaign echoing the statements of then Chancellor Angela Merkel, who had unilaterally opened the country's borders to Syrians fleeing civil war in their homeland, which makes a new campaign by Germany's favorite paper, known to everyone simply as Bild, quite extraordinary. Under the front page headline, "Germany, We Have a Problem," it has published a highly controversial 50-point manifesto telling migrants how to behave as a country experiences a national cultural clash. "Our world is in chaos, and we are in the middle of it," says the paper. "Since the terrorist attack of Hamas on Israel on October 7, we are experiencing a new dimension of hatred against our values, our democracy, and against Germany. In our country, there are many who oppose our way of life, people who celebrate the murder of innocent civilians, those who teach their children to hate others because they are infidels, those who forbid women from wearing trousers, those who listen to radical preachers because they want a different society. Germany must say no. Though Bild calls its manifesto a sort of house rules for everyone living in Germany, it is clear aimed at migrants. And its significance cannot be overstated. With its racy pictures and eye-grabbing headlines, Bild, which sells 1 million print copies a day, has a massive impact on the German people and their mindset. 20 regional editions serve every corner of the country, and each month its website attracts 25 million visitors, almost a third of the nation's adult population. And then they go on to say that actually Merkel started the mess, but under the new leadership it's even worse. And my take of it is, having been in Germany during the feast, that it's not going to continue much longer. Now, the current government, again, in my estimation, the most incompetent government Germany has had since World War II, cannot stay in power much longer. Somebody will have to come up. Now, at this point, there may not be anybody on the horizon as we can look at things, but I was reminded of an individual, specifically when I listened to what was written about Henry Kissinger, an individual who we felt in the church for a while might have been the one, talking about Franz Josef Strauß, the former finance minister of Germany. I know Mr. Armstrong felt very strongly he was the one. He even told him, not that he was the one, but he told him that he felt that God had something in store for him. Anyhow, I recall we were in Germany for the feast. It was actually the Feast of Tabernacles. I checked this out this morning, making sure I had the dates correct. Strauss died on October 3, 1988. Happens to be, if I recall this correctly, the last great day. I remember when I came down to the reception area in the hotel, there was this big paper saying, big headline, Strauss died. He apparently had a heart attack in his private plane. So he could have been the one. We looked at his qualifications, so to speak, and they seem to have fit quite nicely. But he wasn't the one, obviously. Then later, we had a leader in Austria, Jörg Haider, who also seemed to fit very nicely the qualifications, so to speak. But of course, he died in a very mysterious car accident. His wife actually felt there was foul play involved. In any event, he wasn't the one either. Now, are there any persons right now who are fitting the profile? Well, I know one thing, I think I know one thing, and that is a person is alive. Alive and well. Whether he is aware of his destiny, I don't know. It's interesting that Adolf Hitler seemed to have been aware of a particular destiny he had in his early age. Even during World War I, he was never killed. He was injured one time, but he was never killed, and the other soldiers felt there's something special about this guy because he should have been killed many times. Later on, of course, they tried to kill him many times and it never worked. So I do believe that his guy's is there, maybe working behind the scenes, maybe knowing, maybe not knowing that a particular destiny is in store for him. But I believe we will probably hear more about whoever that is soon, because Germany is in such a mess, absolute complete mess. If you read the German papers, another day goes by. There's not another scandal. Just last night, another scandal broke. See, they had this big problem with finances in particular areas regarding their climate change funds. Now, another huge question has arisen. Can they use that money for other purposes? And apparently not. So that would come in addition to the mess they're in. So we will have to see how it continues. But let me just say that well, certainly things are not going well. And if you look at the situation with the migrants, I can say again, we have members in Germany who don't get although they're entitled to it, what the migrants are receiving. In many cases, illegal migrants. I mean, that is a scandal, and as I said, I don't think that Germany is going to stand still much longer. It brings me to an article we have published, which I actually wanted to do a Standing Watch program about. I might still do it. It's titled, "The Shift to the Right That Actually Isn't One at All." And so this article, which was written by an Austrian paper, Report 24, has this to say, amongst many other things. To put it simply, the normal worker or employee just wants to earn enough money to support his family, go on vacation, not have to worry in old age. Gender asterisks and political correctness, the majority don't care about that because it doesn't affect everyday life. But if contributions into the social systems due to mass immigration have to be increased, if there is no longer any increase in purchasing power, and if there is a threat of poverty in old age, then people do care. And this whole shift to the left in politics has led in the exactly opposite direction. Who would have thought, for example, at the end of the 1990s, that the CDU, Angela Merkel's party, would one day jump on the left-green bandwagon of climate fanatics, initiate a catastrophic energy transition, and make Germany industry dependent on the whims of nature when it comes to wind and sun? The current ample coalition, current government, is basically just continuing what was started under Angela Merkel, just with a lot more vehemence and pressure. If, instead of traditional sex education and biology education, schools are shown drag queen porn shows, things won't get any better. And then there is the effect of mass immigration from countries with completely different, sometimes archaic cultures, and on it goes. And that is a very accurate description of what's happening in Germany. I mean, when I grew up in Germany, the whole concept that the party, which then Angela Merkel took over, would advocate this kind of stuff would have been unheard of. The party is named CDU, which means Christian Democratic Union. And so now people are saying there's not much Christian about it anymore. So again, as I said, it just paints the picture of complete and total dissatisfaction as to what's happening over there in Germany, and of course in Europe, but mainly Germany, because everybody's saying, well, if Germany is failing, it will have a tremendous impact on Europe. And then, of course, we are talking about the Pope. Pope Francis, of course, he's old. He's not doing good health-wise. He actually canceled some trips because of his health. But this article we are publishing here in our update has to do with the Pope's Jewish problem. And we shouldn't kid ourselves. He might have all kinds of lip services towards Israel, as the Europeans have, but deep down inside, it's not the case. This article points out, the fact of the matter is that Pope Francis long has had a Jewish problem, and it's come to the fore anew amidst the current war in Gaza. And there are actually three problems, they're saying. Three reasons of tension. The politics of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, the theological approach to Judaism, and the interfaith balancing act vis-a-vis Islam. They're all coming to a head amidst the current conflagration. The criticism of the Pope's response to the Gaza war started almost immediately, and it's criticism, of course, against Israel. Also, he is getting rid of his critics. We have an article in there that he fired an American cardinal and an American bishop. And then there is a Jesuit priest who is pretty much telling people, vote for Biden, while he is for abortion, so what? Many Catholics don't believe in what the church is teaching anyhow on that issue. That's a Jesuit priest of the Catholic Church telling people that. He also indicated that Trump might be the Antichrist. So in other words, this is what's going on here in America. Now, what's interesting, we know that there's going to be a war breaking out between Europe and America, and the Catholic Church will have some input. We don't know exactly how much input, but we know the beast is fighting together with the false prophet against America. And the friction between the Catholic Church now in Rome and America, or the Catholic Church in America, should be something to take note of. Now, going back to our current events section, we have a few more articles which are going to come in the next edition. There's one news which has been reported vividly that allegedly most Russians are now against the war between Russia and Ukraine, and that they want Putin to stop the war. That was something which was reported yesterday, actually also this morning. And then there's another article which tells you the absolute opposite. And I personally believe that the article telling you the absolute opposite is probably more correct. According to that article, more than 75% of the Russians want a continuation of the war with Ukraine unless Ukraine is willing to give up the regions which Russia has occupied. Now, we know from the Bible that ultimately Russia and Ukraine will be together. It looks like many don't know that. We also know from the Bible, as I said earlier, that Russia will not attack America. It's going to be Europe attacking America. Most people don't believe that. Most people never heard of that. If you bring it up, they say you're crazy. It will never happen. America and Germany and Europe, they will be always close allies. So they think. So we are trying to wake up those people, but I don't know whether we are going to be successful. Probably not much now. Perhaps hopefully later. Hopefully not too late. The Q&A is asking the question, UFOs, aliens, angels, or demons? And of course, there's a lot of talk right now, actually, about UFOs, and all American presidents have had some kind of fascination with UFOs, and many feel all UFOs show that there's alien life somewhere outside. Others are not that sure, but they say all these are activities caused by angels. And others say, no, it's actually activities caused by demons. Now, of course, many UFOs can be explained naturally, we understand that. But there are some who, or which, may be a little more difficult to explain. And in this rather lengthy UFO, we are asking the question, is it conceivable that some UFOs could be the manifestations and the activities of holy angels? In fact, when you go on the internet, you'll be surprised how many believe that. Religious people believe that. Or these are angels manifesting themselves, showing themselves somehow. And we are saying here, those who propose this concept give certain biblical examples of human encounters with God's angels, while others use those same examples to quote-unquote prove the existence of aliens. Ezekiel repeatedly saw in a vision four cherubim, actually four cherubim. Some have used this description to say that they depict aliens with spaceships, an idea which had been made popular by Swiss author Erich von Däniken in the late 60s. I remember when he came out, oh, that was very popular at the time. And also more recently by a movie with Nicolas Cage in 2009 titled Knowing. If you've seen that movie, you see again the whole concept of what Ezekiel saw, and they put it in more modern perspectives. Now, we are explaining why this is not showing any proof for, you know, UFOs being in any way associated with angels. We point out from our booklet there are seven purposes for angels, and we are briefly summarizing those. And none of that has anything to do with UFOs sightings. We also show at least four purposes of what angels don't do, but what demons do. And so these four purposes clearly show that who is behind those UFO sightings, if they are real sightings, if they are quote-unquote alien abductions, if it is visiting kind of quote-unquote UFOs of the third kind and all that stuff. Now, why is it important? I mean, why do we even care? I mean, people are so confused about all kinds of things, so why do we bring this up? You know, Jesus Christ is going to come back, and the armies of this world will fight him. He's coming back with his angels riding on white horses. Who do those armies think is coming back? Of course, one possibility, because they are obviously deceived by the beast and the false prophet, may very well be that he is the Antichrist. And so they need to fight him because he's the Antichrist, and he wants to fight against a false prophet whom they probably believe in, a messenger of God. It's one possibility. And there are some old prophecies in the Catholic Church saying exactly that. But then, it's also a possibility that they believe, oh, here are the hostile aliens. And they're coming back, and these horses, they might look like strangely construed spaceships. And so that is most certainly something we have been thinking about for many years, because the fascination of the world with these UFO sightings is quite remarkable. They are not angelic. They are demonic. Demons are there to confuse. Demons are there to make you believe in all kinds of things which are wrong. So don't believe one moment that God's holy angels would have anything to do with that. God is not the author of confusion. Demons are, Satan is. So make sure you don't fall for this nonsense. Now, in conclusion, in our work section, we are talking about the fact that we have posted the sermonette by Eric Rank from last Sabbath, and also the sermon by Dave Harris from last Sabbath, and also the sermonette from Andreas Reitz in Germany. And as I said, we have both an English and a German standing watch program out there regarding the two-state solution, which is not going to occur, because it won't be a solution anyhow, but it would be more like the quote-unquote final solution proposed by Hitler, to wipe out Israel, to kill all the Jews. That's what's behind the attempt, as the Bible clearly prophesies. And again, it's Europe under German leadership. It's Turkey. Let's not forget Turkey. And of course, it's several Arab states. Let me just conclude by saying this, because I read about this morning. America is still trying to bring about a peace treaty between Israel and Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is going to be one of those countries listed in the Bible as collaborating with Europe and other Arab nations to wipe out Israel off the map. So let's not think a moment that these efforts by America will be successful. Nobody is as blind as those who think they see.